welcome to the Maiden Romance podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Bailey, and we also have my co-host here, Sab, aka SR7.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, how are you today?
I am not too bad. It's very hot here in London. Very sticky and muggy. And what is the temperature? Well, it's only 16 degrees, but yeah, it's very sunny. It's a nice day, so I guess that improves my mood. And what about you?
I'm okay. It's actually pretty miserable in Scotland today, so, or in the Highlands where I am. It's raining. Yay! Oh, well. What can you do? So, on today's podcast, we're going to be talking about our writing processes.
Yay!
Which is quite exciting, I think. Well, I hope so, anyway.
Hopefully, it'll be interesting.
Hopefully.
Hopefully no one's like, oh, we don't want to know about this, but there we go.
We'll see, hopefully. And people seem to be interested in whatever we have to say. I don't know. Our listeners can tell us, I guess.
Yeah, true.
Anyway, okay, so I know that Sab and I have very different writing processes.
We do.
We're like complete opposites. So I am, well, a certified pantser, and you are?
I'm a planner.
You're a planner.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're very different, but I think that kind of, in some ways, works, I guess. I don't know.
It kind of does. I suppose I always kind of, like, forget myself when you are talking to me about chapters and characters and them just doing whatever they want. And then I'm like, do you know where you're going with this story? Like, have you got, like, the end final chapter in mind? Like, do you have it planned out? Because that's naturally me. I kind of plan out chapters and then you reply with, I have no idea where this is going. I'm just like, ah, crap, I forgot. She's not a planner. And I'm just like, oh, God, well, I can't help you. Like, how am I meant to advise you if you have no idea what's going on? And I have no idea what's going on. We're both in the dark. It's literally just you sitting there. You are the puppet. They are the puppeteers and they are pulling the strings. And then you just produce a chapter, send it to me. And I'm just like, well, okay.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Yes. That she's like perfectly described how I write. Well, okay. Well, we'll start at the beginning. We'll start at the beginning of how I even come up with stories. And because most people, you know, it's hard to explain, I think, how I write, for me anyway, because I just do it naturally. So then when it comes to trying to explain how it happens, it's like, oh, but this happens and this happens and this happens, and people are like looking at you like you're crazy because they just can't wrap their heads around it. So it always starts with an idea. It's either like a, you know, it's like a flash of something will come to me. So like it's a character or a couple of characters usually, and then a flash of a scene. And that scene is usually one of the opening scenes of the book or what will become the book or something later on. And that kind of, I love this word, percolates in my mind. So then I've got these characters, bam, suddenly in my head. And I'm just like, okay, so who are you? What are you doing here? It's like, welcome to Sarah's doctor's surgery, which is like how Sab loves to explain our characters, like we're doctors who have to look after them and before we can set them free or make them better before we can set them. So these characters end up in my surgery and I'm just like, who are you? What are you doing here? Don't you know I already have enough characters to deal with? But no, they're just like, my problems are more important than anyone else's.
Yep.
So these characters arrived and I'm like, okay, so who are you? So they usually give me their names and who they are straight away without me even having to like delve into them. And then I'm like, okay, and what is the situation? They go, okay, this. And I'm like, okay. And then I just sit there and start writing them. And that's usually what happens is I sit there and I write them. If I know it's going to become a series, I will usually make character notes. And maybe a couple of notes about the story. But that doesn't always happen like straight away when I start writing. It usually happens during like maybe the first, I don't know, not third of the book, but maybe the first four or five chapters. After that, I might write character notes. But I really only ever do that if it's a series. And then the rest of it just comes to me in my head, and I'll get scenes that are not quite that are in the future in my head, and I'll have to put up with my character showing me them, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to write that yet, because it's not what's supposed to be happening right now. I write strictly in order for a very good reason, because every time I've written out of order, I then have to make severe edits to that chapter, and I hate doing that. I'm just going to say that I hate rewriting, like, with a passion. It's terrible. I prefer to try and get things right mostly straight away, or you know, I do go back and edit. That's not to say I don't edit, because I do, but it's usually as I write. So I'll write a chapter and then I'll read it over and make edits to it, or, you know, general things that I need to change or add. And then when I'm also writing, if something changes whilst I'm writing, I will have to stop and go back and fix it if it's not correct previously. So I know what's going on in my whole book quite when I'm writing it in detail, and I will remember what parts I need to fix before I can move on, which I know is crazy, and I don't know how I keep all of this straight in my brain without writing it down. Some people might think that that's mad.
I don't think it's, I think it's a talent. It's a special ability and superpower that you have. It amazes me. I'm so opposite to you. I don't know how you do that.
I just have one of those weird, like, slightly photographic memories. Does that even make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does make sense. It's just
baffling to other people who don't experience that. Yeah, this is why I find it so difficult to try and explain how I write. So yeah, I basically keep everything in my head. I write in order. I edit as I go. So when I come to be at the end of the book, the draft that I've written is pretty clean. It's not got too many things that need to be adjusted or added, or, you know, it's not really a first draft. It's more like a fourth or fifth draft when I'm done with it. It's the only way I can describe.
I just find that magical. Like, you, that never happens. I don't know any writer aside from you who is able to execute that really well. And you do. I mean, so listeners would know that I'm your critique partner, and therefore, the chapters that I get are literally, like, hot off the press. And, yes, they are so well done, and yeah, it's just very rare where you would have to change anything, rework anything. It's just mm-hmm. magical. It's like you are a factory that just produces perfection. It sounds really like, I mean, that's just how it is. It's just strangest thing.
It is. I don't know how I do it. It's just when I write, I channel my characters. So I'm not really me when I'm writing. I'm them. So I think that's partly how I manage to get the chapter out in one go type thing. And I'm not going to lie and say it's an easy thing to do, because it's not. And it sometimes takes me forever to write a chapter for that reason, because I'm such a bloody perfectionist who can't let things go until I'm happy with them. And sometimes they just don't really want to talk to me, and it does my head in, or they don't want to give me the next part, and I'm just like, screw you guys, I'm trying to get this book done. But yeah, they're very much in my head as people, and they're very real to me when I'm writing them. Obviously, I know that they're imaginary and fictional people. They're not real. Like, I'm not crazy, as some non-writers might think. But for me, when I'm writing, they are real and they are present and they are there. And that's really the only way I can really explain how I manage to draft in the way that I do. And the story kind of comes to me as I write, which I know it can be frustrating for Sav, because she's like, but what's going to happen next? And I'm like, I don't fucking know. They're not telling me, the bastards.
I think you also need to remember that they're very real for you, but to your readers, they're also real. And the whole point of writing and creating a story is so that you can basically transport your reader to a different world. It's fantasy. It's having them fall into this realm of where these characters exist, and you are feeling everything the character feels, and you're seeing things through their eyes, and you're going through this journey. And I think it's not always easy for writers to achieve that level of fantasy. It's almost like you create this illusion, and few writers have managed to do this for me, but when it's done well, it's amazing. It's magical. Like, you've achieved it. I've read your books. I've been so infuriated with the choices your characters have made, and I scream at you about them as if they are real people that I just want to shake and say, you are wrong. And I have to remember, actually, these characters are in Sarah's head, but they are real. Like, they're very real. That's the magic of it. I mean, come on. You must get, I think, for any writer, for any reader to contact them and say, and start talking about their characters like they're real people is like the ultimate dream. It's like, oh my God, these people actually care about these characters and they're in their heads. And it's nice. Like, I'd love that. And I'm sure that there would be at least one person who would read my stories and be like the same way. And that's just something to look forward to, I would say.
Yeah, I have had people talk to me about my characters like they're real. And that is it's a surreal experience in a way, because they're so close to me. And I'm like, when you let them out into the world, it's a different feeling, because they're no longer just yours. They're other people's. And one of the things that I've been countless times by readers, they always say that, like, they can feel the emotions of the characters and they feel real to them because they're so intense. And I think that's, I don't like to be like blow my own trumpet on you thing, but that's my biggest attribute of my books, or the things that I'm most proud of, is making those characters feel like real people and making people fall in love with them. Whether they make stupid decisions and mistakes or not, I think that's the important part about writing a real person, is that they are people by nature are incredibly flawed. Like, human beings have tons of flaws, and that's what I like to explore. If your person is, or your character is like good all the time and doesn't make any stupid mistakes, then how is that? But I don't find that very interesting. Whereas a character who does insanely stupid shit, like real people do, and you just want to throw them at the wall, is more interesting to me. And I like morally grey characters who are not necessarily or do good things all the time, because people are kind of morally grey. And that's more interesting to me, and that's why I write people like that. And I think one of the biggest things is, when as a writer, you should always love what you're writing, and you should always love the characters that you're writing, regardless of whether they're evil, good, or in between. And that's what I always focus on, is, you know, all of my books are very character driven. They're never plot driven. Not to say they don't have a plot, they all have a plot, but they're about the characters and their emotions. And I think that's what where my skill set lies is that. So yeah, that's kind of like I've gone off on a tangent.
Well, no, you've basically, this is what it's about, really. You're talking about your writing process. You're also talking about how your characters make you feel and how you create these amazing books.
Thank you.
Yeah, just take it. Just accept it, okay? I'm not the only one who thinks this.
No, I know. I know you're not the only one. And I have to say, I really appreciate having Sab, because when I first started writing, I didn't really have anyone who read my books before I, you know, as from a not just a reader point of view, but as a writer, as a fellow writer who understands like how to construct a book. And when we became friends, and we became best friends, obviously, we're kind of inseparable, even though we live hundreds of miles apart. you know, we started to talk about our characters, and I finally got around to actually going, okay, do you want to read what I'm writing? And when we reached a stage where we started to give each other feedback and, you know, read each other's work, it became more of a, you know, it's not really a collaboration, but it became easier to bounce ideas off you, and having that has improved my writing, because I always know that if I do something stupid or I go too far, you'll tell me and I'll fix it. And that, you know, is invaluable, and it has improved my storytelling, because I know that I do obviously worry about what I write, but I know that you will always kind of go, actually, Sarah, you can't do that. And I'll be like, okay, I'll fix it. And then I'll just go fix it. That hasn't happened very often. When it has happened, I've taken it on board and gone back and fixed it. Like, we'll go with a recent example. When I was writing, it was book two of the Devil Syndicate, wasn't it? And you said to me that I'd gone too far in a chapter. And when I read it back, I completely understood where you were coming from and why. So I didn't rewrite the entire chapter. I rewrote it so that it fitted better. And it wasn't even that much I changed,
It just needed one thing, really.
And that changed the entire tone of the chapter, and that therefore made it work. And so that's why I find having Sab incredibly important, because I am so self-critical, you wouldn't believe. I mean, I don't talk about this online. I don't tell people about this because it's, you know, I don't like people, you know, we all don't want people to see our flaws and our negatives, but I'm very self-critical about my work, and I worry about things when I'm writing it, and you kind of talk me down from a ledge every single time.
Well, I mean, you do the exact same for me, so
yeah. And I think that's, you know, building this relationship, not just being best friends, because that's like, you know, we're always talking to each other all the time about random shit, and that's fun, but having someone who understands what it's like to be a writer and to, you know, be there for you and help you, and it really is invaluable. And it is, you know, I attribute my improvement in my writing to having you in my life.
Jeez.
You know, and I think we grow as writers all the time. Every single day when we're writing, we grow and we change and we get better. And if I look back at book one of my first ever book to now, I can see the vast difference in the, not just the way I write, but the deepness of the characters and how I tell stories. And I actually think, I'm not saying my first book is a bad book. I still love that book. I'm not going to say it's my best book, because it isn't. But that, you can watch, you know, if you go from book one all the way up to what I'm writing now, you can see my journey. And that, I love the fact that you can do that, because that kind of shows someone my path as a writer to in my improvement. And, you know, and I know lots of people go back and rewrite, they're like, oh, I want to go back and rewrite my debut and blah, blah, blah. And I sit there thinking, I don't have any interest in revisiting my books that I've already written, because I just don't think I can't be bothered. I have so many other stories to tell that I don't want it's published. I'm not going to faff about with it. I want to tell new stories. I want to give new characters to life. And I'm not saying that people who go back and do that is a bad thing. I think that everyone's entitled to do what they want with their books. But I'm very much, once it's done and published, I'm like, okay, we're on to the next thing. Because I'm trying to build a successful career. Well, I am building a successful career out of this. Obviously, I wouldn't write full-time if I wasn't. I'm not going to say I'm some kind of top author or anything. I'm still kind of, you know, maybe not really even in the mid-range. But I want to write new stories, and I don't want to be stuck in the past, really, if that makes sense. I just want to move forward. And I think that's how I manage to write so much, is because when I'm done with something, it is done. and I'm like, that's it. Yes, there's editing. Yes, there's formatting. Yes, there's all the bloody shit that goes with publishing, which I hate. I'm not going to lie. I do not like the business side of publishing. I cannot stress enough how much I hate it. I do it because I have to, because that's part of being a writer, if a self-published author who has their own business. But my first love is writing, and that's what I want to do all the time. So that's me, really. That's mine, you know. And I just, the one thing I'd just like to add is everyone is entitled to write the way that they want. My process is my process. Other people's processes are their processes. I think the most important thing is you find the right way to work for you. That doesn't matter if it's different to other people, because it's about what's good, what's best, and what works for you. And I've obviously found the key to mine. So, yeah, that's my writing. I think we've gone on about me enough.
It's very insightful, though. It's nice that you can talk about it. And I think it's nice for the listeners to know also your process. It's important. Because, I mean, a lot of the time, I think, well, from a reader perspective, authors that I love, I just see them produce amazing books. I don't actually see their struggle. I don't see them, you know, question themselves. So I think you being open about your process and the struggles that you go through makes you even more human and relatable. So yeah, I think it's, you can go on for as long as you want. but yeah, I guess I'll talk about myself if I'm allowed to.
Yes, please do. We'll go into your writing process, because you have a very different writing process to me.
Oh gosh, yeah, I really do. So what you were saying about, you know, how people revisit their debut and rewrite it, obviously that's something I've done or am doing. It's literally not easy. And to think 2 years ago, I only had one book that I was working on, and now I've got like three. I don't know how that happened in 2 years, but yeah, I guess I'll start from the beginning. I'm sure I've definitely brought this up in previous episodes, but I had published a book, I think, back in 2014, and I had no help, as in no editor. I had no critique partner. I literally wrote this big book and I published it. And I started working on the second one. I got help for that one. I got an editor and we finished the second one, but I didn't publish it. I thought to myself, this second book is 10 times better than the first one, and it takes a different route altogether. It's more structured, it's put together, it's more developed, the world building makes sense, it's better. And I thought, right, let me pull the first book off the market, and I will rewrite that so that it falls in line with the second book. Now that may be completely crazy for some, because I'm now working backwards, but I was really excited and my editor was really supportive. Don't ask me how this happened, but I ended up having like another editor, and this editor I've been working with for years now since then on rewriting this first book, and I'm still rewriting this first book. It's a big book, it's a big series. I planned for there to be a lot. It's a fantasy romance, and this first book, I think I'm on the fourth draft. So this is the thing about, this is the difference between me and Sarah. I have to plan everything. Now, when I plan, it does start with an idea. It always starts with an idea. For me, it could be like I'm in the shower, I'm on the train, I'm on a bus, or I'm listening to music doing the dishes. It's always at the most inconvenient of times when you're not actually sitting at your computer when the idea will come into your head. And basically, when the idea comes into my head, it is literally a flash. It could be a scene. It could just be one character. It could be a moment of struggle. And I'm like, whoa, what is this? I don't know what this is, but I need to like get it down somehow. So I do. And what happens is, with my process, is I don't know what these people are called. I don't have a name for them. I just recognize their emotions and I ask myself, okay, so what is this? What kind of story is this? Back then, I was very much in that fantasy romance land. So therefore, I knew it was fantasy romance. It was jam-packed with adventure, whatever the hell it was, and whoever these characters were. And I grab my male character, my female character, and I start to flesh them out. I sit there, I come up with a timeline, I come up with their name, I come up with the weirdest stuff, like what their favourite colour is, and what they hate, like what kind of weather they hate. It's like the little things that kind of make them even more real. And then I don't actually start writing until I have an idea about where I want, what this story is and where I want it to go. It's like probably the longest process for me to plan. And I never actually just sit there and write the way that Sarah does. It's like I have to come up with character profiles, a timeline, what they look like, the clothes that they wear, the world that they're in, their family background, nicknames, just really, really weird things about them. And I suppose I took that into consideration when doing this fantasy romance, because it's a different world. There's so much more to take into account. And in the space of 2 years, these other work in progresses have come along, and it's very different from what I've been writing before. These are contemporary romances. This is where Sarah came in a lot of, what am I trying to say? You were really helpful and useful and a godsend, basically, because I had no idea what I was doing. I've never written contemporary romance before. This was very new for me. I was nervous as fuck. So I was like, geez. Like, I've read contemporary romances, but I was just there like, where do I even start? How do I separate my mind from being about airships and steampunk and mythology and pirates to now real life, like creating characters in real time, modern day? It was just a struggle. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. But from the time, and I don't think, what did I do with this process when it came to writing contemporary romance? It was more like a project for me, more like I needed to do something different, because I was on my fourth draft of editing the fantasy romance and I was driving myself insane. Honestly, it's not easy, and Sarah is blessed to not be cursed with having to sit there and edit and revisit chapters and rewrite chapters and drive herself absolutely insane. So at that point, I needed to step away from my fantasy romance, even though it was the fourth draft. I really needed to step away because I was losing the joy of editing and writing and loving my series. So
yeah,
I remember. Was so hard, and I remember Sarah saying to me, maybe you need to do something else. And I remember being like, I don't want to do something else, because I am so attached to my characters, and I just felt like in my heart I was betraying them by pushing them aside and then creating these two other characters and different story and different world and just forgetting about them. But then eventually I just did it. I just thought, you know what, let me try it and see what happens. And I remember writing the prologue and it just happened. I didn't plan it. This was the first time I didn't plan something. I sat there and it came to me. I write in third person, I don't write in first person. So I wrote this in third person from the male character's perspective, and I wrote it and I was just like, wow, I did not expect this. I had no idea where it was going. And I sent it to Sarah, and I remember Sarah's reaction completely making my evening. Like, I was blown away the fact that she loved it so much. And I was like, oh my God, have I done something good? This is cool. So then, yeah.
Yeah, you did. And I think one of the things I remember telling you is that when we're so stuck in one thing, you do lose your joy of creating. And I said to you, how you get unstuck from that is to create again. And let's face it, at the end of the day, editing is not the same as writing. And I think when you're writing and creating as a writer, that is the best possible situation to be in. So I wanted to kind of, the reason I suggested this to Sab was because I knew that in order to re-find your love of writing, you have to write again. And so that's the reason I was like, you need to do this, even though she was really reluctant to. You were, let's face it, you were like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to make this. And then when you finally did it and you sent me the prologue and I was like, this is magic. See, this is why I said to you, you need to write again and write something different. If you can't write something new in your fantasy series, write something different. So I'm very glad that I gave you this piece of advice because I feel you like see, it helped you open yourself exactly, up again.
It's true. Writing. It's exactly what we're saying. Like being able to have someone that you can send work to, talk about ideas, support, it makes such a difference. And I didn't have anyone before Sarah. It was just me, and then it was an editor, and then I met Sarah, and then I started to send Sarah my stuff, and we started to open up about our work, and it has completely changed everything. It's helped me so much. And with this story, this contemporary romance I started, I had the best fun writing this contemporary romance. It was so different. I found that it was just, I don't know, it was just very different to the fantasy romance because I could have more fun with it. My fantasy romance is a little bit dark. Okay, so there's a lot of darkness in it. But it was like this contemporary romance was fun and lighthearted and just strictly about love and finding love again and going through loss and betrayal and all kinds of stuff. It wasn't so complex, and I think it was something that I needed. And I thought to myself, do you know what, I want to publish this. And I wrote it and I sent it to my editor, who was really happy to receive something very different from me, a contemporary romance, and she was really happy with it. I'm going through, but again, this is the difference between me and Sarah. I'm going through, like, it's now my third draft. I don't know, I've got a thing for, like third drafts and fourth drafts and whatever. But this is my third draft of this contemporary romance. And somehow, along the way, I started another contemporary romance. It's just a good effect. I don't know what's going on. I haven't pushed aside this contemporary romance by starting another one. But it was more like,
you're waiting.
Yeah, exactly.
For feedback.
That's from it. That's what happened. There's a period where I'm waiting for feedback from my editor, and I'm just there, existing, not really knowing what to do with my life, and feeling quite empty. So I feel like if I'm not writing, being a writer is really like shitty at times, like really, really shitty. Okay, like it's just.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh because no, it's so really true. Shit,
man, because you kick yourself for not writing, but then when you do write, you feel like you need a break, but you feel guilty for taking a break. So even though you're entitled yes. to take a break, you're taking a break, but you're there being like, I'm wasting my time taking this break when I should be writing and being productive. But then by pushing yourself to write and throwing yourself into your work, you are actually doing yourself more harm because you're not taking care of yourself. And then you get sick, and then you get depressed, and then it's like, yeah, it's shit, man. It's a shit relationship, yeah, writing.
It is, and I will agree with that. And it is taken me a long time to be okay with taking breaks. I'm not still fully okay with taking breaks. But you do learn how to do it, and you do learn that if you don't take care of yourself, you burn yourself out. And I've done that several times, as Sab knows, and it's horrible. And you just have to kind of force yourself to take a step back. But I think one of the things that you've learned is actually having more than one project at a time.
I've enjoyed it because before, my life was just my two fantasy romance characters and their complexities and their really difficult life. And that was everything, that was my life for the longest time. And then having these new projects, having other characters to obsess over and worry over and get annoyed over has been really fun for me, and it's helped me relate to Sarah a lot more, because she has like 1,000 characters in her weight room, and I know all of them and I love all of them, and I can't wait for some of them to have their stories be told, because they seem to be turning up every bloody month. But
I know,
but
I can't deal with it.
I always tease Sarah. I tease Sarah relentlessly. I'm like, yeah, you say that you don't have any room for like others, and then you say that you're gonna pay attention to one couple, but give it like a month, and then a new couple will just waltz in.
This is what happened. Okay, I'm sorry to like butt in. This is exactly what bloody well happened recently. As you know, I was trying my hardest to finish the Del Syndicate because I put myself under a lot of pressure to get that written. And then, what do you know? Two people, and people might not know this, I've started designing my own covers to the Devil Syndicate I designed, and I was in a weird place, and I was just like, I'm just going to go on this stock photo site and find some stock photos, and I'm going to just design a cover. And I did that. And then I sent you this cover, didn't I? And you're like, what is this? You're like, what is this story? And I was like, fucking don't know what it is, man. I was just like, I'm just making this up because I needed to do something else other than writing, because I was driving myself crazy. And then I made this cover, and then these characters started talking. This character, it wasn't a second character, it was just this one boy started talking to me, and I was just like, what is this? Like, please stop. And I managed to suppress it, but for a while. And then, of course, when I was writing the last, it was kind of in between, right at the end of the fourth book and into the fifth book is when I finally gave in and started writing this book. And it's these characters just like literally overtook my life, and I was like, you need to be quiet because I have to finish this other book. It's on fucking pre-order. So yeah, I was not happy because I was like, I have to finish this bloody fifth book, and you know how much of a struggle it was for me to write book five. But yeah, so this is what happened to me, and I cannot stand it. Even though I love writing and I love my characters, I can't stand it when this happens, because my plan was to finish the Devil Syndicate and then finish these other two books that are in progress that have not finished. But no, these two characters came along and they bulldozed over everything, and I was just like, fuck.
Hey.
So yeah, I've just been like majorly writing this new book that is nothing like anything I've written before, that already had its cover before I even knew what the fuck I was doing. And there you go. So that is, and now Sab kind of understands that.
But that's a new process, Sarah. That's like completely new.
Yeah,
and it's new. That, like, you've never had an idea from a cover.
Like,
so that's new. And to see that, we both experienced that. We were like, what? This cover's amazing. Like, what the hell is that? Like, this is different from your covers before. What is this? And I then. Know. Yeah,
and then and then it turned out to be a different story, because it's not male female, it's fucking male, and I was just like, ha! Yeah. Like, literally, that was my reaction. Is what yeah, am I
so
doing?
She was freaking out. I was celebrating. I was like, I can't wait for this. I am so excited for this. This is new. This is gonna be fab. Oh gosh, yes, I'm living for it.
And you have been living for it ever since.
So much.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk too much more about this book, because it's one of those books that I cannot explain without giving spoilers, isn't it? It's really hard. I think everyone should just, when I release this, everyone should just be going blind. And just read the story and don't ask me about it, because that's probably it. That's the only way. That is really the only way, because I cannot spoil, you know, I can't describe it. How do you describe a story that goes from like when they're children to their adults and with a fucking mess of emotions along the way and fucked up
shit
happened.
It's a coming of age.
Yeah. Yes. It's a dark coming of age second chance male. There we go. Romance.
That's it. There you go. So yeah.
There you go. So you heard it here first. No, you haven't heard it here first because I've gone on about it on Twitter, but you heard it here on the podcast. Anyway, let's go back.
So it's so easy for us to just like go off on a proper tangent, like don't give a fuck. We're just talking and just like ran bored about something else. But yeah, let me just rewind and go back to what I was talking about, which I believe was me starting a new work in progress whilst waiting to get feedback from the contemporary romance. Yes. So now this work in progress, this new story, is literally a first for me. I'll tell you why. It's because I wrote in first person and this was crazy for me. I have never written in first person. The reason why is because I kept telling myself I find it strange writing from my character's head, like being my character. I felt like I had to be my character. I know this sounds mad because when we write we are writing our characters, but from first person it's like I need to be in their head, and I thought I can't be in my character's heads because I just can't. I just kept telling myself I can't. I know that word shouldn't exist, but it does for me. So when there was an opportunity for me to either write in first person or third person, it was actually Sarah, who is always Sarah, who said to me,
yeah, I'm like your worst.
But it's good because you challenged me. You were like, so are you going to write this in first person? And I was like, was thinking about it because I do believe there is an option to. So yeah, I guess I'm going to give it a go. You were really excited. And I had no idea. Okay, so this was an interesting process for me. I had no idea who these people were, these characters. I only felt anger. don't ask me. Don't ask me how or why I felt anger, but I felt their anger. And I thought, I'm feeling their anger. Why am I feeling their anger? Where does this anger come from? And then I thought, I want to do an enemies to lovers. And then, so the trope was there, and I thought, okay, that's what I think this is, because I'm feeling their anger, I'm feeling their resentment and their rage. So I thought they clearly must hate each other, and there must be a reason why they hate each other. So let's dive in. Let's find out why that is. Now, I always find it a lot easier to write the male character. I don't know why that is. But maybe because I enjoy a really flawed male character with a lot of issues, and he can be like a dickhead at times, and I like that. He's not like a complete evil bastard, but like, he's not perfect. And I don't know, I really do enjoy it, maybe because he swears a lot, I don't know. But anyway, so I decided to write the first person perspective. Actually, I wrote it from her point of view first. I did. Yeah, oh my god, yeah, I remember now. It's all coming back. Sorry guys, it's been a while. She just spoke and I wrote, and it was amazing. First person is amazing. I don't know why. Maybe because things are so different from third person. It's like you see everything they do, but I'm just sounding like an idiot right now. I don't know how to describe it. But writing first person was so much fun for me. It was really freeing for me, and it just came out. I was able to just, what's that word, embody her rage and just throw it all there on the page. It was magic.
you were able to spew it out like, yeah, you were her.
And it was like I had no control. I had no control. I felt like how Sarah feels, like I was literally being controlled by this woman. And it was amazing. It was fun. I think most of all, it was fun. It was new. It was fun. And I remember sending it to Sarah. Oh, and also it was freeing because I took a step out of my comfort zone. And it was a lot sexier. It was a perfect blend of rage and lust and betrayal and anger, and it's a lot of hate, but it's a complex kind of hate. Anyway, I remember sending it to Sarah and you really enjoyed it.
No, it wasn't I really enjoyed it. I absolutely loved it. I was like gushing over it. And I was like, you need to write more because I need more.
I remember being like, wow, okay. So I wrote the second chapter and it was his perspective. Mm. This was fun. This was fun, fun, fun. This was amazing fun. And I have to say, I've fallen in love with these two characters. And I have only done a maximum of 3 chapters and I'm just currently waiting on feedback. So I refuse to be a rebel and write more because I don't want to get myself in any odd situations of, or any awkward situations of writing a story without knowing if it is yet worthy. But regardless, I do intend on creating this story no matter what, because it's so new for me and it's fun and I love it. And the fact that you love it just makes me feel like I'm learning so much more about myself as a writer. And also, I have to say, because I'm so used to writing in third person, when I was writing in first person, I found myself writing back in third person. And I was like, what the f-? I was like, what is going on? Like, it would just happen. I'd be first person, then straight back into third person. And as opposed to me trying to shift back into first person, I just let go and I just wrote the chapter in third person. And then after I finished the chapter, I just changed it into first person. And I started to, it was just, it's a huge learning thing for me. Like, I love that I'm trying new stuff, that I'm being a lot braver with my writing. It's just helping me. And the fact that Sarah is in my corner, like helping me and advising me and being supportive, is just, it's amazing. It's not to say that I haven't made mistakes. Like, I remember in my other contemporary romance, I wrote a chapter and I think it was 2 chapters where, yeah, it was 2 chapters actually, where I had a lot of emotion on the page. I think one of them was like a chapter where things were going back and forth and not really moving. And I remember Sarah saying, this seems repetitive. In every chapter, the plot needs to move forward. And I totally agreed. And I remember I had to rewrite that chapter and it made it a lot better. There was a lot more going on. And then another chapter I wrote was pure emotion. But it was also not normal for my characters, very out of character for my characters to do certain things. And I remember, even though it was, you know, very, it was emotionally fueled, it didn't fit. And I remember saying, I can rewrite this chapter, and I did. And it's never easy to rewrite a chapter, but at the same time, I think it's very nice to know that Sarah can be honest with me and I will take that on board and I'll be like, do you know what, I'll rework this and I'll improve it and I know that I can improve it. I think though, I'm always nervous, Sarah, you know, I drive you insane with it when I write a chapter and I'm like, I have no idea if this chapter's cool or if it works. I'm just like freaking out over it. And then Sarah will read it. We're both at a stage now where we both like send each other chapters. We're both really unsure about them. And we both are just like, what the hell are you stressing out about? Like, it's fine. Like, it's perfect. You've done it right. And it's like, we're almost like just making fun of each other. And it's like, just that. Yes. But no, it's a special kind of relationship, I think, when you can talk to someone about your work and just be so honest about it. And yeah, it's nice. It's just pleasant.
It is. And I think that's what helps us, you know, having that immediate feedback is a lot, makes it easier, because then when you're going into the next chapter or the next couple of chapters, you know that you've done it right already. So you're like, okay, now I don't have to worry that I fucked up and I can just write this next section, especially when they're chapters that lead into each other. It's like, you know, you're freaking out over it and it's like, actually, why are you freaking out? It's so dumb. Stop it, Sarah. And this is what I get. It's like, why are you, just stop, just get on with it, Sarah. Stop being stupid. And I'm just like, but no, but.
It's true. It's very, very true.
And it's the same for you. You know, you're always just telling me off for asking stupid questions. And I'm like, you do this to me when you're when you send me chapters and you ask dumb questions. And I'm like, why are you asking me this? I told you it was fine.
Those things.
But we're certain. But I think that's because we're very, even though we have different writing processes, we're very similar people. We call it, we say that we're twins because we are. In a lot of ways. I mean, we're different, obviously, but we have a lot of the same kind of thought processes and feelings, especially about our own work. And it's just funny to see it manifest in each other when we're in this, in the middle of writing books, and we're like, you know, vibing off each other. And then it's like, Sarah freaks out one day and you freak out another day. And it's like a back and forth all the time. And even it's happened on the same day, even, which is really funny. You're like, I'm freaking out one minute, and then after this chapter, you're like, it's fine, Sarah. And you send me a chapter, and you're like, I'm freaking out over this chapter. And I'm like, it's fine, man. Stop worrying about it. And it's just so funny. And it just, it cracks me up. And I absolutely adore it, because it's just like, this is so us. Like, this is just us being normal and being ourselves. And I think that's the best part about our friendship and our writing partnership. It's not really, I don't know, I call it kind of a writing partnership, because we are.
Is it a writing partnership or a writing marriage? I don't really know.
Writing marriage, I think, is a writing marriage. Yeah. I think we are kind of married to each other in a weird way. But I think that's the best part, is that we are so able to be so open and free with each other, and we're not afraid of the other person going, thinking that we're a big fat weirdo or anything. We're just like, well, Sarah's just as weird as me, so it doesn't matter. Or you're just you're as weird as me. Like, we're both weirdos, and that's fine.
Yeah, it's true. Like, so it's like, in my fantasy romance, there's a lot of death and murder and killing. And I remember, like, at one point, Sarah was like, in one of the books, okay, so this is going to happen. There's going to be a lot of blood.
It's going to be a lot of
bloodshed. And I was like, just give me all the bloodshed. Like, I really, there was a point where I was really seeking just hardcore killing. And I don't know if I just remember being like, I'm really sorry, Sarah, but I just really miss my pirates. Like, my pirates are so, like, they don't give a fuck. They're like, they're just free to do whatever they want. They kill. Like, I just needed, like, murder on the page. And I think knowing that Sarah was doing that, like, I remember, you remember sending me the chapter and you were like, yeah, the death count's gone up. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah. I said, oh my God. And I said, and I think I said, it was the last, like, I wrote the last, like, 8 or 9 chapters of the book. And that has, and there had already been death before then. There had been several deaths. And then I wrote the last 8 chapters of the book, and I said, there are a lot of dead people. A lot of people die in this last part of the book. And I sent that to her, and then I said, I asked you afterwards, did that satisfy your need for murder? And you were like,
it
yes,
really
it did.
Like,
it really did. And I was laughing about
it's just a thing. Like, people would think that writers are hardcore, like, low-key killers, you know? Like, seriously, we are dark people, mm-hmm. because we touch on so many subjects, and our browsing history is just, don't even talk about it. But it's it's research. That word is mm-hmm. so is research. That's what
it is. But it's like, you don't want it, you want it to be realistic. I had to research so many medical things and for that last book, to make sure that I wasn't, like, I was writing things realistically, and it was like, and then all this other stuff I had to research. And I don't like researching. However,
really?
Sad loves it.
How do you not like researching?
Because I just want to sit there and write
it.
And when I have to stop in the middle of something, because I have to go and because I'm when I have to stop in the middle of something and I'm writing and I'm in the flow and I'm in the zone and I have to stop and go and look up something, that's, I find that annoying, because I'm like, shit, that's broken my flow. And that's why I don't like it, because I'm not, I, because of the way I write, I don't plan these things. So I don't look all this stuff up before it happens. Sometimes I do, because I do plan some things in my head, but I don't look this stuff up before I start writing this chapter, and then when I have to stop, bam, in the middle of a chapter and go and check something, it's like, that's why it's annoying for me. It's not because I don't enjoy researching. I like learning new things, but it's because of the way I write, because I have to stop and do that, it becomes annoying for me. Hopefully that makes sense. It's not just because, it's not because I hate research. It's because it's like literally an interruption to my flow.
That makes sense. That's cool. I love it. I'm in that exact moment right now. Like, I was editing, and then I, for some reason, you know, that I'm totally questioning this draft, right? So like, I'm literally got my magnifying glass, and I'm there sitting like, does this word make sense? Is this career appropriate? And then I'm like, now at this point where I'm Googling the difference of careers. So I'm there just researching like careers at the moment, and I'm just learning a lot, and I'm just like, this is interesting. And I will happily sit there and I will just happily take notes and research. And I love it, because I'm not going to lie, Sarah, but I had to research pottery, and I feel like I can make a pot. Like, I feel like I know the process. Like, I feel, do you never feel like after researching this stuff, like how to give birth and be like a midwife, that you can legit be a midwife? Like, do you ever feel smarter? Do you ever feel like you've just added like skills, like new skills to your arsenal, and you're just here like, I can do that? Meanwhile, like, you're on a plane and you think that you can save somebody who's choking because you've researched it, and you just don't save them, you just make it 10 times worse. But I would never say, let's do this in real life. But no, I always feel smarter. I do.
It's true. You know what the funniest thing is? When I was researching something and I had to make sure that I understood how like sentencing in the UK works for various different crime. And after I read that, I felt like I could be a judge who sentenced prisoners who did these types of things. And I was like, what is wrong with you? I'm not even fucking qualified in the law at all. But suddenly I was like, I could sit there and I could make sure that their sentencing was done. And I was just like, you're talking shit up, Sarah. Just stop it. Go and write your bloody book and stop being an idiot. But, you know, but the funny thing is, it's like, I say I hate research, but I have to have it. It has to be right. Like, I cannot write something that I know is incorrect, factually incorrect, or like doesn't make sense or is not realistic. And that's kind of like, you know, because I'm writing contemporary romance, and people are kind of like, oh,
exactly.
And I'm like, well, it's, but at the same time, my world that I build isn't our world. It is a version of our world that I have created to fit in my story. So I'm like, it is realistic, but it's still a fucking fantasy. So don't sit there and read my book and assume that this is our world, because it is not. Like, these characters do insane things, and like, you would never get away with this shit in real life, but they do because it's a story, it's not real. And I think people kind of tend, I think maybe I write things too well that people forget that it's not real.
When, like, okay, so basically, I'm going to use Sean as an example. Now,
our friend Sean McMahon, who is an amazing writer.
Really is.
Yes, I'm just going to name
drop
him.
Let's just do that, like, because he's just fantastic.
Oh, okay. He is the writer of the Restarter series, which is a sci-fi series, which we're both absolutely obsessed with. And I'm also going to drop in that his third book contains a crossover with my characters from my After Dark series, and I'm very excited about it.
That is crazy.
So there you go, there's a little segue into Sean. So go ahead, talk about our lovely friend Sean.
So I'm reading the Restart series, legit I think Sean is a time travel wizard. Like, I think this guy knows everything there is to know about time travel, and that's just strictly because he's done research. But honestly, I swear, he must be the doctor or something. Like, I'm just expecting him to have a TARDIS in his garden, and we just free flow, go on adventures with him, because his books are, they just blow my mind. They really do. Like, yeah, my point is research turns you into like research can literally like you've lived several lives through research, and especially for your characters like Sarah, you have okay, because you write about vampires, you're not a vampire clearly, but you have written about a chef, and legit I think you can sit there and create the perfect dish in the world, because when I was reading Dirty Chef I was like, oh, wow, I was like, does she actually sit there, has she cooked this meal before, like, because it's so believable, and I'm just like, does she like research these recipes, and like this is the kind of stuff that I'm talking about.
Yes, I did research the recipe. Two, I religiously watched MasterChef. All sorts of other cooking programs. It's the thing that me and my husband do together when we watch cooking shows. So there you go. That's part of the thing.
Yeah.
There's a little tidbit.
I'm not going to lie. Life. When I was reading Dirty Chef, I was like, this is so well done that I actually believe that this girl has been on MasterChef and knows the layout of a kitchen. I had no idea it was called a pass. But there you have it. I learned so much from this novella. I was like, well, shit. And you're right. Like, when you were writing about the like the workings of the prison, because in Devil Syndicate, you had to talk about, like, treatment if a prisoner is ill and, like, what happens.
Yeah. And I had to also do some of that, talking about how you go and visit people in prison in the Benson siblings as well. So I've done a lot of research about UK prisons, you know.
Like, I was reading that and I thought to myself, wow, I know that she's done this research, but, like, I think we always think that some readers are going to turn around and be like, hold on, this isn't true. Like, you haven't done enough research. And is it fair to say that that's why you want to make sure that when you research something, it's dead on point, so that no one can turn around and say, you didn't do this right, because that's incorrect information? I think that's always a fear for me.
Yeah, it's something I also agree with, because I have actually read books and gone, that's not realistic. Wouldn't happen in real life, and I'm like, I don't want someone to say that about my book. So I'm always like very meticulous about making sure that if I have to include a detail that is a real life and a real life situation, I do go and look at the process, I do go and make sure that I understand it so that I can write it. And that's, I think, it's a very important step in your writing, if you're writing, especially if you're writing contemporary romance or any sort of contemporary story or even sci-fi or anything like that. It has to be somehow grounded in what we understand as the world around us, and it has all grounded in science or anything like that, because otherwise someone's going to come along and say, but that wouldn't work. And you're like, it's a fucking story, but okay.
Do you know what? I have to say that this is kind of, I know that there are differing views on this, but this is kind of why I don't have beta readers, because I am the worst kind of person when it comes to receiving feedback from different people. It's almost as if I get pulled in so many different directions and I just lose myself and I question everything. It's insane. And I just cannot do it but I will also say, back of that, I have sent chapters to friends. And I think also this is a little bit tricky for some writers, send work to friends, because what you should have is really someone who is able to give you constructive criticism, as opposed to someone who's just going to turn around and say, this is really good, or not give you what you're looking for, which is whether the plot work, whether the characters are well developed, that kind of stuff. Because it's really all good and well for somebody to say this is great, but you don't want to know if it's great. You want to know if it's believable, if these characters are real, if you feel what these characters feel. And for me, I've had friends like question facts about my chapters. So if I say that, like, if I say, okay, so it's little things, like if I say, like, my character wants to enter this championship for something, I get questions like about this championship, and I'm like, I don't fucking know about this championship. I just know that it exists. I don't know, like, how long the championship goes on for, or whether it's like around the world event, but I get questioned for it, and I'm like, I don't actually want you to focus on the championship. I want you to focus on the characters and what's happening. It's little things like that, and it just makes me think, oh shit, do I need to do more research? Do I need to over-explain stuff? And I think that's one of the things that I'm so conscious of, which is over-explaining and info dumping. I don't want to do that. Because of that, I think I play it safe, and I'm happy in having an editor and a critique partner. That's all I need. I'm really happy. I've made a rule for myself already that when I publish, I am not going to revisit that story ever again. Once it's out there, it's out there. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to publish it and then carry on with the next thing. That's very much what Sarah was saying in the beginning of the podcast, is that you very much finish a story, then you move on. And I think that's really important to do.
That's not to say that I don't go back and reread my own books. I do when they're published. I have done that, but I don't read it like it's my book. I read it like it's a book, and I enjoy it in that respect. Because I enjoy my own writing. I'm not afraid to admit that. You should enjoy your own writing, because otherwise, why the fuck are you doing it?
Whatsoever. Like, you know you've done a great job when you can read your own story and be like, who wrote this?
Yeah, and so I recently went back and read Promises, which is one of my favourite books I've ever written, I have to say. And I was like, I love this story so much. And I reread it, and I was like, this is really, like, an adorable story. Like, it's still dark, but it's not quite as dark as all of my other books. And it's a slow burn romance. So, and I actually, funnily enough, love those. I really do love slow burn romance, even though I love sex as well. I do also love a slow burn romance. But I went back and I reread it, and I was like, I can't believe I wrote this, as a story, because I was like, this is, you know, such a powerful kind of book. So yeah, I do go back and reread my stories, but I never sit there going, oh, I would have fixed that and I would have changed that. And I just think, why? What purpose does that serve for me? It doesn't. It's out there in the world. It's now enjoyed by people. I don't need to sit there and think, I need to change this, I need to do that, because I'm no longer in that mode of writing and editing. I'm like, this is a published book, you know, so I can enjoy it for what it is. And I think that that's a really nice thing, is because you can finally get to the point where you're like, that book's published, it's done, and I love it for the way it is. And I think if you can get to that stage with your books, you know that you kind of know you've made it in a way. I mean, there's lots of ways you can know you've made it, but I think it makes me feel secure as a writer that I can go back and do that and not then have that situation where I'm going, but I should have done this. And I'm like, I could have done a million other things with this book, but I didn't. And that's okay. That's just, it's nice. And I think that maybe perhaps once you have published and it's been like 3 or 4 or 5 months, and then you go back and reread your book and you're like, oh, actually, this is really good.
I would like to think that, you know, I would get to that point. We'll see.
And I hope you do, because I say this, I absolutely adore your writing. So, you have such a way with words that I don't have, and that's what I like, is that your writing is unique to you.
Wow, that's huge.
You know, I'm very much a simple kind of girl who writes. I'm not saying my stories are simple, but the language I use is very, it's not complex, whereas your language in your books is a little bit more, I'm not going to say flowery, but
I was literally thinking flowery.
Romantic. Your books are more kind of like, have this sensual romantic feel to them. And I like that. I love that about your writing. That's what I really admire about your writing. Whereas mine's very, very dirty and gritty writing about these people who go around killing other people. Whereas you're very much these two characters in love. And, you know, and I think, yeah, there are dark things in your stories, and that's fine. But I really enjoy the fact that your prose is very much, I really just like the way you write your prose. I'm not going to
lie. Wow, thank you so much. I'm just like so embarrassed right now. Wow.
Well, you just take the compliment. Why do you think that I gush over your words?
I take compliments too well, but there we have it. I'm just like, oh God.
You know, but that's the thing. It's like, I don't wish that I could write like you, but I admire the way you write. No, because I think everyone writes in their own unique way and has their own voice. And I think that that's an important thing to develop as a writer, is your voice. And it takes time. So it takes some people like a short amount of time, takes other people a long amount of time. It doesn't really matter how long it takes. It's just as long as you end up getting there and you recognize your voice as a writer. And I know for a fact that I have a writing voice, because one of my very good friends, online author friends called Elle Linda, she said to me, because she's read all of my dark romances, and she goes, when I said, told her I was writing reverse harem, she was like, really? And I was like, yeah. And then she said to me after she'd read a couple of them, she goes, I can still tell that it's your story, even though it's very different from anything you've written before. She said, it's your voice is still there and present in this book. And I was just like, that's one of the highest compliments as a writer, is that even if you write different things and in slightly different, you know, you go from male, female romances to polyamorous romances in slightly different stories, I still have the same voice. And I think that for me was one of the biggest compliments I've ever received, because that's what I want. That's like my goal, was to make sure that people still recognize it was a Sarah Bailey book. Even though
that
it's different.
That is amazing. I think that is beautiful, yeah, to know that you're recognised. So you are identified,
yeah,
through your writing voice. That's great. That's
exactly,
yeah,
it is. And to have someone say that was really amazing. And when I read, because I've only ever read your contemporary stuff, I don't know about your fantasy stuff.
We'll
see about that. But when I read your contemporary, when I read your writing, I know that that's your voice. And even when you went to write in first person, I still recognized it as you. And that's what's really beautiful. And I just wanted to kind of say, you have this beautiful writing voice that I absolutely adore. And that's why I adore your stories, because you just have such a strong voice that resonates throughout the entire book. And I think that's, I just wanted you to know that, because I obviously want to encourage you to keep going. But even if we weren't friends, and even if I wasn't like your critique partner, I would still think the same thing about your writing, like, because I can look at it for the it.
Thank you so
hopefully
much.
That I'm just.
That's. It does that make sense. It's really, really sweet. So thank you. Thank you so much.
It's okay.
And I totally like. I feel the same way for you as well. You already know that. You already know how I feel about your writing.
Yeah.
It's never a day where I'm just like, doing an amazing job. Like, this is brilliant. But yeah.
I know. Yeah, and then I still doubt myself.
But it's normal. We all do that.
Yes. And I actually think it's quite healthy to be that way, because that makes you want to do the best you can. And I don't think I ever want to be in a situation where I'm very blasé about my writing. I want to push myself. And I think having that healthy dose of self-criticism is good. It's when it gets to a point where you worry about everything you're writing and you don't move forward is when it's a problem. But when it's kind of like a healthy dose of it, I think that's okay. So I'm always trying to very much balance out my healthy criticism and my negative criticism, which is really bad and makes me get writer's block. Does that make sense?
You say make sense. Like, I understand.
Okay, good. So get what I mean. I mean, I'm not someone who really ever gets writer's block, but it kind of, I do occasionally, and it's because I'm doubting myself too much. And I'm overthinking things, and that's when it becomes an issue. And I have to kind of take a step back and say, stop doing that, just fucking write the book. And that's what I say to you when you start getting that. I'm like, just fucking write it, just do it. I'm like, stop questioning it and just sit your ass down and get that written. And, you know, and I think that helps.
Yeah, we all need that friend that can threaten us into just basically sitting there and writing it. And I think it's very important to have that push.
It is, because if you're not, people go, you know, people have said, oh, I'd love to write a book. And I'm like, well, you need to sit down and do it then. But, and then you see all these people complaining on the internet about how hard writing is. And I'm like, I know it's fucking hard, man. But you have to just fucking sit there and do it. Otherwise, you're not going to write. Like, if you're not sitting there and doing your writing, of course it's going to be hard and the book's not going to get written. Like, it's a very simple thing. You have to sit down and actually write it. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. And people are like, oh, but I wish my book would just get magically written. I'm like, mate, just pipe down and go write your book into the complaining panel on Twitter.
It's so funny that you say that, because last night I came across this image on, I think it was Twitter, and it's like a comic, but it's only two slides, okay?
Yeah.
And it's of this cat sitting at a desk, because of course it has to be a cat, sitting at a desk at a computer, and there's another cat just like scribbling on a piece of paper. And the one at the laptop says, yeah, I should write a book, but I don't think anyone will read it. And then the other cat says, how many people will read it if you don't write it? And I was like, well, that's a... Well, that shut you down. Like, you basically just got to sit there and write the damn book. Stop being like, oh, I don't know if this is going to be good. I don't know if anyone's going to like it. Well, how are people going to know if they're going to like it if it doesn't exist? You literally just have to get it done. And I was like, well, damn, maybe instead of me like having doubts and like expressing those doubts to Sarah, I should just print this comic strip and hang it on my wall and look at it every 5 minutes and be like, well, that cat told me. So
actually, I think this is a good idea. That cat fucking told you, and it made you sit down.
I think I just need to share this image, to be honest, on Twitter and be like, spoken on today's podcast.
But it's true. Like, I don't mind people complaining about how hard things are on Twitter, but it's like, if you're sitting there not doing your work because you're writing so hard, and it's like, and I'm like, yeah, it's fucking hard. No one said being a writer was easy. If it was easy, everyone would write a book. You know, it's not supposed to be easy. Writing is at work. Like, how can you just sit there and say, oh, it's so hard, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, do you like the sound of your own voice complaining that much that you... something? I'm sounding really harsh. Oh, God. I'm so sorry, people. I'm brutal.
Kind of savagery is happening today at, like, midday. Bloody hell, Sarah.
I am savage sometimes. I mean, don't get me wrong, I complain on Twitter about stuff, but then I'm actually sitting down and doing it whilst I'm complaining.
That's by the way, listeners, I hear about this all the time from Sarah. Like, the amount of messages that I get from Sarah and being like, I'm so fucking pissed off because I've seen this on Twitter. Why are people complaining? Why are they just doing this? I'm just like, ah, oh, shit. She just needs to just come off Twitter for a while.
Yeah, I need to not be on Twitter. I'm like getting off Twitter now. I can't deal with it. And I get off Twitter and then I go and write and I'm just like, calm and peace again. But this, honestly, I find sometimes French social media so triggering in the respect that there's these people moaning about something that I do every single day because I work hard. And I'm like, okay, well, the only way to succeed in the publishing business is working hard. That's just a fact of life. And if you don't want to do that, well, then I'm sorry, but you're not going to be successful.
It takes a lot of hard work. And do you know what? I have a huge respect. I don't have, like, children. I'm not married. But I've got crazy respect for parents who are writers because I have no idea how they juggle. That is amazing. Too. Like, that's superpower in itself. And it's just... because life just gets in the way, but... They still manage to create these stories and get it done. And it's just amazing. I'm just like, wow.
It is.
And then I always think to myself, well, I'm just sitting here struggling to write. Whereas they have like three kids that they have to like get ready for school, feed, cook dinner, bathe, put to bed. They have a husband or a wife or whatever. And they have so much going on. They literally probably get maybe 20 minutes a day to themselves to just write. And I'm just there like a whole day going by. And I'm just there like, nothing's coming to me. I'm struggling. And it's like, shit. You know, I just think about them and I'm just like, wow, that's insane.
It puts your problems.
It really does.
It does. And I have, like, genuinely, I have mad respect. I like Sam, I have mad respect for people who are parents who write. And I have mad respect for people who are writers in general. But I'm like, when you're just sitting, when it's not because of, it's when I see someone complaining repeatedly about the same thing over and over again that it begins to annoy me, because I'm like, you know, you, and especially when these people don't have children or have no other responsibilities in their life they have to get on with. I'm like, just do it. Just go and just sit your fucking ass down, write the book and stop it. Because being on Twitter is just a form of procrastination. Yes, I have to be on Twitter as a writer and be present because social media is important to my business. But I also recognize that sitting on Twitter all day and doing fuck all on it is not a way of being productive. Then people go to you, help me. How do you write your story so fast? I'm like, I don't sit on Twitter all day doing nothing. I sit my ass down and I write my book. I don't procrastinate. I do procrastinate, but I don't do it to a point where I don't get anything done. So there you go. If you want to learn to write like Sarah, just follow these steps. It's called doing it. That's it. There's no magic. There's no, you know, anything else. It's just called getting it done without and not making excuses for not doing it. And I think that's my takeaway message for anyone who wants to write, is just fucking do it. And I know that sounds harsh and brutal and savage, but I'm afraid to tell you that the publishing industry is harsh, brutal and savage, and life is harsh, brutal and savage, and we just have to fucking deal with it. And I also have not had very much sleep, so this is probably why I don't have a filter today. But hey, you don't listen to this podcast to get sweet, sweet, fluffy things going on. If you're listening to our podcast, you know that we curse and rant and talk about our real feelings. So there you go, man.
I just want to say that, like, this is a slice of Sarah that I get all the time. So, like, I'm just here crying of laughter for anyone listening, like, with wide eyes, like, what the actual fuck just happened? Like, Sarah just exploded. This is what I get all the time. I get this, like, all the time.
This is the real Sarah Bailey, people. This is the real deal, and this is what you're getting on this podcast, is the real Sarah.
Sarah is just brutal when it comes to writing. Like, Sarah, the way that she just bangs out books is just insane for me, but she is the hardest, like she goes hard when it comes to writing. I know no one who does what she does. That's insane. Like, I was talking to my friend.
Bruv, it's called fucking go hard, yeah, or go home, just, man.
You're crazy, like, in a good way, but like, it's insane. I have your books, yeah, like, on my shelf. I know your journey. And your speed as well. Like, who does this? Like, it's just, I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, who does this? Anyway, you said you were talking,
I was talking
to my
friend about you, and she was like, what do you mean she's published like 13 books in 2 years? And I'm like, exactly what I just said. She's published 13 books in 2 years. Like, what don't you understand?
Actually, how many is it now?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Shit.
Is that everything I've published then?
You've done. I can't remember. Okay, you've published 19. No, shit. Because you've done novellas as well. 19, 20, 21, 22. 22 you've published. And this book that you're working on, it will be your 23rd. You're not a normal human being, are you? You are a factory. You are a machine. Yeah, that's what you are. You are a machine. Okay. So, yeah, you're something else. But I have to.
And so she was like, how is this woman? Does your friend actually really exist? Is she an android?
Like, I don't know. And do you know what it is? It's because you are not, you're blessed without being cursed of the whole, you know, revision and drafts. And I think that's what's so great, is that you have that ability to create your first drafts as if they're your final drafts. And that's how you do it.
Well, they're not quite final
drafts. They're good, they're perfect drafts in my eyes. Like, have you had any complaints? Like, no, you haven't had any complaints. Then that's...
No.
I can't... Exactly. No. I can't think of...
No one ever said to me that they're unedited exactly, so or just anything shut up else.
Because...
Yeah, anyone who kind of says to you, you have to write this way, you have to do this, I tell them, go fuck yourself, because proof here that you don't have to write in a certain way or do certain things to be successful.
This is just, as Sarah said, this is just her process. It's not like no one.
Yes.
It's not. Yeah.
It's not something you shouldn't aspire to be like me or replicate my process, because it's how I do it. You should find your own. I think that's one of the most important things I say to anyone. Find what works for you and do it. Like, you can take writing advice from other people, sure, but if it doesn't work for you, then just toss it out in the trash. Like as long as you know the rules of like grammar and punctuation and how to construct sentences, you're pretty you've got the basics down, and then you can just do what you want. I'm not saying do what you want, write a coherent plot and everything and coherent characters, but don't feel like you have to be tied down to rules. If you don't need to write, if you need to write 10 drafts to get your book out, then write fucking 10 drafts to get your book done. If you want to go one and done, bam, do that. Like, there is no man. The man is not here to tell you how to write. You just do it the way that is correct for you. And that's my advice to any writer, is just do what works for you. And that's okay. And don't sit on Twitter where people say that you have to write in this way, otherwise it's wrong. Those people are just probably jealous of you or other people or whatever. Like, the writing police can go away, in my opinion.
Yeah, this whole writing police malarkey is just a lot for me. I can't. I don't have time for it.
No, I get you complaining about it to me, and I'm just like, fucking, listen, just ignore them.
The amount of breaks that I've had to take away from Twitter I very rarely go on Twitter. I really do, because there is just a lot that will trigger me, and a lot of it is bullying. A lot of it is people just preying on other people and their weaknesses, their writing process.
Yes,
like just attacking them for simple things like character names and all kinds of bullshit that I just don't have time for it. I'm just like, be your own person and believe in yourself. And yes, I know that's really hypocritical of me to say when I don't even believe in myself, but guys, do as I say, not as I do. That is my takeaway, okay? Just look, we as Sarah said, we all have our own different processes. I'm on my fourth draft for one work in progress. I'm on a third draft for another work in progress. There are days where I literally feel like I am never going to get published. And I just feel like the world is flying ahead of me and I'm just so slow and at snail pace. There are going to be setbacks, but at the end of the day, you always just have to have that vision of your dream. And mine is to see my book on my shelf, and one day that will happen. I just strive and continue to do what I have to do, no matter how many drafts, no matter how many times. I always have to tell myself that, okay, I'm working on a new draft, but this draft will be better. It cannot get worse. So my takeaway is to just believe in yourself and keep your dream in mind and don't give up, because it will happen.
It will. And we will get your book published. I'm just saying that now. It's going to be published.
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe. Okay.
It will. Because I'm going to make sure it fucking well does.
See,
okay.
You need that one psycho friend that will be like, it's going to get fucking published. So just sit there and write.
We are literally each other's psycho friends.
Yeah, it's true. It's so true.
You're like, we're both like absolute, I would say that we're probably obsessed with each other.
Yeah, I think that's
and,
fair.
I don't see that as a bad thing.
No, because if you get work done, like, you know, obsess away. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like, and it's not just in our writing, in our own, like, personal lives. We're always talking about shit all day to each other. And, like, we're just, it's going to, I'm going to be really sappy right now. Like, Sab is like my soulmate. Oh, you know, it really is.
Stop it.
Stop it, you're going to cry.
Stop it.
No, please, no, don't cry on her. No, but I absolutely love you and you are my soulmate and, you know, and I'm just lucky that you're my writing soulmate too. So it's like, I've got like a friend that is just, our friendship is like the fastest growing friendship I've ever had in my life.
It's insane. I've not had a friendship like this.
And like, I don't know that anyone who knows as much about me as you. Well, lots of people know quite a lot about me, but you probably know me more than a lot of people, and sometimes probably slightly even better than my own husband. And my husband is also my best friend, so we'll just, yeah. But Sab's just like she's my soul, and I love her. I love you to bits, and yeah, I'm grateful. So that's
let's just end it here, okay? Because otherwise it's going to be fucking writing a haiku and shit. And I just can't do that right now. I can't write poems.
And I know that you feel the same way about me. So it's like, it's a mutual love and respect there. And I think that's really important to have, especially as a writer, is that one person that is your go-to person. We're going to, end our podcast here. I really hope you have enjoyed listening to us go on about our writing and our friendship and me ranting about Twitter. and we will see you in the next one, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, so thank you for listening. So this has been the Made in Romance podcast, and this is me and Sab signing out.